Christchurch, New Zealand. I hope you're cleaning up well there. Not like cleaning up well, you personally, but, you know, cleaning up your house, the debris, all the fallen rocks and concrete and cracks in the road and all that stuff, because Lady Hillary Clinton is due to arrive in
what?
November. Yes, she's visiting New Zealand. She's announced this week.
Oh, well, anyway, this is Truth About Markets New Zealand with Max and Stacey on RDU Christchurch. So Hillary Clinton is to visit New Zealand. Oh, my God. Tell us more.
It follows her being forced to cancel an earlier trip to New Zealand after the earthquake in Haiti. Hey, that ties her with two earthquakes now. What's going on with her and earthquakes?
Earthquake Hillary. Earthquake Hillary.
Yeah. In a statement, the U.S. Embassy in Wellington confirmed that Ms. Clinton expected to visit the region in November, and that included New Zealand. So let me guess, what is she there for? Oh, yes, for those military bases and hoping that you don't kick them out and, in fact, telling you maybe we're going to do some drone attacks on some of your neighbors, maybe the North Island or the South Island or the what are those, wallabies and the Tasmania.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? She might be trying to stoke some more wars, interregional wars.
Yeah, why is she going to New Zealand, Hillary Clinton? I mean,
she's Secretary of State. They're supposed to go visit foreign countries and talk about their foreign relations.
Okay.
Well, there you go. Are you shocked? You're like, who is she?
Well, now, is there any truth to the rumor that she's going to be tapped as the next defense secretary?
Well, this is a rumor that emanates from the Twitter of Jeremy Scahill, the fantastic journalist who is still alive despite uncovering all sorts of nefarious activities by Blackwater and Eric Prince, the Dark Prince, Lord Prince, living now in Abu Dhabi.
Mm.
He was at some sort of defense event, and the rumor is that Hillary will replace Bob Gates,
right,
as defense secretary. Now he's announced that he's leaving. I think it's 2011, so the end of this year.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, remember Hillary Clinton was really harsh on Blackwater for a time when they were exposed to be engaged in all kinds of heinous war crimes and blood for money, blood money, and hit contracts and stuff like that. And then, of course, people noted that she was still hiring them as her personal bodyguards. And, of course, the defense contractors are the tail that wags the Washington dog. So now, I guess, the quid pro quo there was stop bad-mouthing us and keep hiring us to do your mercenary work, and we'll put your name forward to be the defense secretary, and you can strut around the world stage wearing your pantsuit with some some like Gaddafi-like military hat, and she could give Gaddafi a run. I think those two like to dress up as military transvestites and cross-dressers, and Hillary could put on a nice pantsuit and a big pointed cap, wielding big cannonballs and missiles. And she could go to Libya, and they sit down in the tent with Gaddafi and talk war, Jar Jar.
With the farting cows of Tripoli.
You mean the camels.
Did I say cows?
That's right.
I meant the camels, yeah.
Yeah, I think she'd make an excellent defense secretary, probably start a few wars. And she's also wearing her hair up now in kind of the style reminiscent of something you might see on that show, The Sons of Anarchy. It seems like some of the malls who ride motorcycles and eat rattlesnake for breakfast like to dress like this.
Or like Boudica.
Yeah, Boudica. Yeah, she's got the Boudica look. The warring Boudica who tried to defeat the Romans who invaded during the Norman conquest, the Britain.
Yeah, and what happened to her? Yeah, she got killed by the emperor because, like, everybody supported her locally at first, but nobody else did after that. They were like, ooh, we're scared.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, nobody in the rarefied inner sanctum of party politics in the U.S. ever suffers any kind of physical pain, of course. They might have their character momentarily cast aspersions upon in a tweet or a
or a blog. But
I think this is what something we should maybe New Zealand. Maybe you'll have her ear while she's there. She's going to be actually she might listen to the show because she's going to be listening and watching local programs.
Yeah, they'll be in like the bulletproof caddy from the airport. And they'll be just cruising through the radio stations. And then they'll be like, hey, RDU, Max and Stacey, Hillary Clinton, the big cannonball missile-wielding new defense secretary. What's up, babe?
Well, I think, you know, this as the empire collapses, I think we need to get more colorful because it's kind of boring that this, like, plastic empire that, you know, they don't have any nice buildings to leave behind. So they might as well do it with style. They should do some more of these, like, more gladiator type stuff, like up. They already have the gladiator sort of shows, the reality TV shows, but they need to up it. They need to, you know, bring some blood and gore and kill thousands and tens of thousands of animals, plunder the, you know, they need to get a little bit crazy. They need to put Barack Obama on the back of a horse riding into Tehran. And, you know, I think we need to get more dramatic.
No, you can't beat the Romans.
Exactly.
Yeah, the Colosseum. Maybe build up the Colosseum, restore it to its original glory, and it could the Colosseum and related structures were responsible for wiping out like 50% of the cats in Europe,
the big cats,
yeah, and around the world that it's an enormous number of animals were slaughtered,
and it was the population itself that was like demanding this. It was genuine bred and circuses. It had become exactly like Americans. They were, you know, in fact, though they had every other day was a public holiday, so they didn't have to work every other day. They demanded the emperor feed them. So, of course, the emperor had to, like, bomb more and more places and feed them, give them their quota of rice and stuff like that. But they had these nonstop, like, just months-long gladiator fights and just killing and slaughtering all these big cats and elephants and all sorts of stuff they brought in from Africa.
Yeah, all right. So you got Hillary Clinton riding an elephant. In the Colosseum, in some neo-gladiatorial confrontation, and
Ami Dijad.
Ami Dijad, who and Monica Lewinsky, those two would be on the opposite side of the Colosseum, and there's Hillary Clinton on her elephant, dressed up with an enormous cod piece, like Bush wore in the Mission Accomplished flight, where he touched down in the Gulf and. Right before the slaughter of some more civilians and military folks. And she got the enormous codpiece on, riding her elephant, waving a Boudicca-like stick up against Ahmadinejad and Monica Lewinsky.
I would love to see Ahmadinejad and Monica Lewinsky.
Team up against Hillary Clinton. This would be the battle of the year, you see.
That would be like the first maybe $1 trillion earner for HBO, you know, exclusive rights to
pay-per-view. Yeah, that'd be a huge winner, you know. Put it up on there on the web. Akamai Technologies, it would bust their servers. You know, they couldn't deliver all the streams of this epic battle. But I think you're right. I mean, because there is no economic – because, okay, in Roman times – the empire got stretched too thin, and they couldn't service the debt, essentially. They couldn't service the empire, and it collapsed. This is why the empire collapsed. In the U.S., they've got too much debt. They can't service the debt, and it's collapsing. So the only way to people to have no jobs, and it's a farce to say that you will ever have a job, you're not going to have an infrastructure. You're not going to have any kind of health care. The only thing we can offer you is gratuitous, violent violence. And, of course, in the Roman times, things got very, very kinky. Yeah. You know, this is a family show, so we can't go into the details, but look it up on the internet. You'll see that things got, you know, stranger than what we see these days.
I think America also needs to start building some vomitoriums. That is a great stimulus package. We need to build some vomitoriums and amphitheaters for putting on these mass slaughter games. I think that people need that. It'll probably, it would win Obama the next election. But we're going to be right back after this little musical interlude.
All right, we're back on RDU, where we're talking about vomitoriums. Well, I mean, what is a quantitative easing but the monetary equivalent of a vomitorium? The central bank sells its bonds and then immediately buys it back. I mean, isn't that the same as regurgitating your own meal and then eating it back, eating your own vomit and vomiting up again? I mean, this is what the central banks have decided is the only course of action they can take to pretend as though there's any demand for these government bonds. You know, there is no demand for the government bonds because there's no demand for the output that these governments are putting forward because these governments' capacity has been shipped overseas. Nobody wants a U.S. government bond.
Do you think that might be part of the reason why Hillary Clinton is coming here to New Zealand to beg for some money? Maybe I might suggest you hide all your valuables. She could be riding through town plundering your family jewels.
Yeah, good point. New Zealanders, hide all your valuables. Hillary's coming to town. She'll be wanting your government to buy some U.S. government bonds, resist her siren song to try to entice you to buy this junk paper that's worthless and just try to survive this visit by Hillary and, show her a nice time, put her in a field with some lambs, give her a nice lamb shank for dinner.
Some young boys.
Huh?
What? That's what visiting dignitaries always received during the times of, the Roman Empire.
Okay. And, hopefully she'll leave as soon as she got there. And she's off, leaving a huge carbon exhaust to despoil and foul your skies. But whatever you do, it's like the devil. Once you start talking to the devil, that's bad. You know, don't talk to the devil. So don't talk to Hillary. Just try to use mime or send in, like placards with write on the words, like just write yes and no. Have them all prearranged. So she says, "Where is your bond market?" And you put up a sign that says no. Or if she says, "Oh, what lovely jewels you're wearing," just put up the sign no. just try to keep her from totally destroying your country. Good luck with that.
And when she's here in town, of course, we are going to do a special Truth About Markets for New Zealand. So it'll haunt her wherever she goes, whenever she gets in her Cadillac. Mm. No, Hillary, don't stop. Don't go into that house. Leave the family alone. Just keep on driving. They don't want to give you their money.
Yeah. Well, one thing is that, in my opinion, I don't think the whole pantsuits thing works. Because she's got a body like Ted Kennedy.
Max.
And
are you saying Ted Kennedy would have looked better in a dress?
The whole pale blue pantsuit, it just doesn't work. It looks like wide open sky for as far as the eye can see. And, it's just nothing but pale blue for like 3 yards across. And that's just not becoming. I think you got to work with the dark colors. And, do what, some women that get into that long-hanging caftan thing, like the tarp thing, to try to, create some kind of line.
Plus, she has to stop with the little chipmunk smile. She's got to do, Condoleezza Rice was a good Secretary of State because she just looked like she could really kick beep. She looked like glaringly, she had those, like, eyes.
Yeah, I haven't thought of that name in months now. If you remember, Condoleezza Rice was really a rising superstar in academia and politics. She was incredibly gifted and accomplished. And Bush just totally destroyed her entire career.
Well, she's back at Stanford.
Right, but doing nothing. I mean, twiddling her thumbs. And quoted nowhere. Nobody invites her out to anything. And I hadn't even thought about her, seen her name for months.
Well, I think she likes to stay private because, she's apparently living with her girlfriend. They bought a house together, some L.A. producer.
What a crab I'm sure she is to live with, waking up all crabby all the time, like, Bush, ruined my career. Give me a cup of coffee.
I think, but the thing with a corrupt, collapsing empire is most people are exactly the opposite of what they, come off as. I think, Bush is probably very articulate and intelligent in person. Obama is probably inarticulate and dumb. Condoleezza Rice is probably just very bubbly and sweet in person. Hillary Clinton always does that fake bubbly sweet. So she's probably like an evil, you know, tyrant behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, most people are the opposite of what they put out in one of these sort of corrupt things.
I don't understand what keeps someone like Hillary Clinton, you know, going. I mean, what? How many years has she been doing this? I mean, she's clearly ineffective in what she does. She has no ideology. She's sold out to so many special interest groups over the years. She's literally...
That's why she continues going. That's exactly what the special interest groups and lobbyists want.
I mean, it's so sad. I mean, she's been... That horse has been ridden so many times that it's just looking like it's ready for the glue factory. You know, why can't we put this one out to pasture? Finally. I mean, come on. Can't we get any young blood in there? I mean, give me a break.
Well, I really think the thing that the U.S. needs is just they need to get rid of every single senator and congressman and cabinet, you know, executive office, the entire administration, but not replace it with Republican Party or the Tea Party or the Libertarians or any other parties out there. I think they just have to draw from a hat. There's 330 million Americans, you know, so half of them say, you know, the adults, and just draw out of a hat. Because anybody, as soon as they start to run for office, they become corrupt. It doesn't matter how idealistic they are.
Yeah.
They all become corrupt, and they get targeted by the lobbyists and corporations and the elites that are running everything.
Yeah.
So I think if you just draw out of a hat, and anybody could do it, because that's the way the system was set up, is that any bozo could run it. It was supposed to run on its own.
No, well, you make an excellent point. The Constitution, Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, this was an attempt by smart guys in the 18th century to create a government that any civil servant could run. All they had to do was follow the manual. Read the frickin' manual. That's all you have to do. It's all in there. You know, it's like people who buy an IKEA, you know, bookshelf. They bring it home. They try to build it without reading the frickin' manual. And what happens? It's a bunch of bolts and nuts and splinters on the floor, and you got nothing. Just read the frickin' manual, okay? There's a Constitution. Your job is not to create new laws that bypass the Constitution. Your job is not to create signing orders that bypass the Constitution. You're just a freaking civil servant at the behest of the population to just obey the law and do what it says in the Constitution. It's not a weighty tome. You know, the Constitution is only like 50 pages long at most. Just, I mean, can you take, just follow the instructions. Anybody can do it. I mean, the President of the United States should be a civil servant that does their job adequately and then leaves and goes away. They should pay him a reasonable salary. They're not, you know, it's like the manager of a Little League baseball team. You wouldn't go home at night thinking about the manager of your kid's Little League baseball team and the fact that they decided to rewrite the rules of Little League. Now you've got to go down to the Little League office and find out why this guy is rewriting the laws. Because it's just the Little League team. It's kids baseball. It's just empires and it's, Don't try to reinvent it.
But that's what I'm saying. So they should just draw at random. But the algorithms to draw at random have to make sure that there's a lot of distance between each of the people they're going to make senator or Congress or Supreme Court or president. Right? They have to not know each other. They can't be family. Like now, America has all these aristocracies. It's either the Bush family or the Clinton family. Bush family, Clinton family, Bush family, Clinton family. Yeah. And we have to get rid of that. And only 4-year terms, and that's it, one. And so it removes the ability of all the huge money from the elites and the corporations to control everything. If they have no idea what are the next people to be chosen to be Supreme Court, Senate, Congress, President, Vice President, Secretary of Treasury, all of that, it's all random.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. The pool that you pull from should only include people who have actually – served and done their jury duty.
Okay.
Or in other words, for example, in my case, for example, I've never done my jury duty. I'm not a good candidate to run, be president of the United States for this reason, because at the end of the day, I don't really care much for it. People who serve on their jury, they do their jury duty. These are really concerned civil people that really want to support the system.
Okay, well, we're going to come back with that right after this musical break and talk more about
jury
duty.
Okay, we're back. This is Truth About Markets New Zealand with Max and Stacey. We were talking about jury duty. Yeah, so jury duty, of course, people spend a lot of time figuring out how not to serve on the jury. It's not that hard to do, actually, I mean, because there's only two types of cases, right? There's the civil case and then there's a criminal case.
Sure, yeah.
So when you're being interviewed to be on the jury, if it's a criminal case, all you have to do is slam cops in some way. For example, I would say the question always comes up. I mean, have you had any interaction with cops or police, the police force? Because they want to know if you have a bias against the police. So, of course, you just say, well, I mean, aside from those cops that I saw dealing drugs down the street where I used to live and guns, I mean, aside from that, yeah, they're great. So, okay, that disqualifies you from that jury duty. Then if it's a civil case and they, of course, it's all about the insurance payout. So the question always comes up, have we ever worked or anyone in your family worked for an insurance company? And of course, the answer is, well, yeah, I mean, I was involved in a massive insurance fraud that was conducted by my buddy so-and-so at college, who then went on to become the president of a major insurance company, told me that all the insurance companies are corrupt. Okay, you're disqualified from that jury. So, therefore, you're not going to serve on any jury because you're not qualified to serve on either a civil or a criminal case. Now, as such, I've never served on a jury. And I don't wish to serve on a jury because it's a huge waste of time. I don't believe in the system.
Yeah, but Max, actually, I read that they're actually discounting for that. Even if you say, yeah, I think insurance companies are evil, everybody says that now.
Yeah.
So they kind of factor in that most people are going to say that in order to try to avoid service. So they look at other qualities about you to see whether or not.
All right. Well, then, you know what? Forget it. I'm running for president then. I'm running
you
for president.
Not on my system.
Now
it's
I'm
random.
Running for president. I'm going to serve on the jury.
It's and
I'm
random.
All right. Well, if I were randomly chosen to serve as president, I believe I gave my 4-point plan.
But you kind of tipped off. I mean, the jury service is also kind of random.
Well, yeah, kind of random, yeah. I mean, everyone's supposed to do it, but it comes up randomly. Exactly right. So similarly, you get a letter in the mail that says that you've been randomly selected to be president of the United States. Please report to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue by January 1st and begin your
January
term.
January 21st, 2000.
Yeah, begin your term.
That would be funny to get that letter and be like, I'd love to see the people trying to get out of that.
But technically, anyone of the right age could do a competent job.
I think you're right, though, that it should be forced duty. Like, I'm sure there are people who are making $1 billion a year who are like, I don't want to take 4 years off and go be president.
Yeah, this is why, for example, the Tea Party people, I think, are wrong because they're constantly talking about change and rewriting the system, basically. Whereas Ron Paul is a guy who just says, look, it's not that hard. Any idiot can do it. Just follow the instructions. We're going to get rid of all these foreign wars, get rid of all these these domestic occupying forces like the CIA, who's spying on us domestically, and just go back to the way it was written, 200 and something years ago. That's, Ron Paul. See, I believe ultimately in a coalition between Ron Paul and Ralph Nader. You put those two guys together, and together they can downsize the American government to the point where it's effective, and you can bring about a rule of law once again, and you can restore get rid of all that junk that Bush did in terms of overriding all of the rights that were enshrined in the documentation. And that's the way to go. But it'll never happen.
But Ralph Nader then would step in because all you would have very powerful corporations still left. And he's good at dealing with checking corporate abuse.
Yeah. He would downsize corporate abuse. The way that corporations have downsized the workforce, he would return the favor by downsizing. I mean, in America's history, they had a period already during Teddy Roosevelt, who was the trust buster, who broke up Standard Oil and all these huge trusts.
Yeah, you always have to do the opposite. He was very conservative. He was a Republican. He was well-known conservative, and he had the power and authority to do it.
He got the public behind him, just like the public was behind the Procora Commission. and putting many bankers in jail after the crash of 29 that deserved to go to jail. Or Bill Black, who did the inquiry after the savings and loan crisis and put many, up to 1,000 or more bankers in jail after the savings and loan crisis. The current crisis is 10 times bigger than the savings and loan crisis, and not a single banker in jail.
Well, you know, the PCORA Commission post Great Depression market crash of 1929, that was the success of that was because of the PCORA assigned an investigative journalist to head his team. So this investigative journalist is the one that dug into all of the paperwork and followed the money and found out who were the ones committing the crimes.
Look, last year,
I'm pitching for us.
The 25 biggest, 25 hedge fund managers each paid themselves $1 billion in salary. Now, these hedge funds added nothing to the productive capacity of the economies. They added nothing in terms of increasing their workforce because they're all basically run by small shops and suites somewhere in tall buildings. They added absolutely nothing to the well-being of the country. They added absolutely nothing. That $25 billion in compensation, $1 billion each for 25 hedge funds, at least a billion, many, some made more. That was just basically cream skimmed off the top and destabled the economy. We'll never see it again. Those 25 guys should be investigated, and with the result, in my opinion, being that most of them would be in jail serving long sentences like Bernie Madoff.
Well, mind you, most of that those billions of dollars that they're stealing, they, of course, are very well connected and integral and part of the Federal Reserve System. So they know their currency is collapsing, just as Alan Greenspan said before the Council on Foreign Relations last week. So they are part of the reason that gold is hitting all-time new record highs yet again, because they're buying the gold because they know what they themselves are doing to the economy.
Exactly right. You've got hedge funds now, 10, 20, 25% of their positions are in gold, and central banks are buying gold, and folks are preparing themselves, battening down the hatches for this competitive currency devaluation in World War III that'll be fought in the currency pits around the world. And, this is it. We live in an extraordinarily historic times.
That's right. So this has been The Truth About Markets, RDU, Christchurch, New Zealand for this week. We're going to continue. We're going to follow up. We're going to find some more information out about Hillary Clinton, the Boudica of our times, coming here to – but she's the kind of the opposite, as everything is with his empire. The Boudica is here to rape and pillage.
She's more like bulimic.
So until next time.
Bye, y'all.